So this morning was trying to help you to catch a bigger picture of the Lord, and more importantly, that this big God loves us. And starting there, my next thought, and I want to talk about the wilderness. And just from the little bit that I've heard, we already know what the wilderness is. I know. Well, but we talked about it last night. We've talked about it, you know, I mean, we all know. But so I'm going to tell you what you already know tonight. They're trials, they're temptations, they're difficulties, they're stresses that are in our lives. James 1:2 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." Not if, not, you know, the one that you'll get in your life, but when. Job 14:1, "Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil." The Hebrews 11 chapter covers, of course, that's the faith chapter, but it describes believers that are mockings and scourgings and imprisonment and even death. I mean, and these are believers. These are ones who love the Lord. Those are, of course, representative of the big, dramatic, more, you know, I mean, to me, death is the pretty big dramatic. If you die for because of your faith or the Lord, that's, you know. But we get them every day or every week at least. You know, they're the little ones that come our way too. And we look at the big and we learn from them, but they apply to the trying to make the paycheck last, you know, till the next payday. It's just as simple. So they come in a lot of different forms. They can come financial, health, family. We fail somebody. Somebody fails us. Any number of ways are them. Now, here's what I feel like is maybe a little unusual, and that we actually need these. They're not just we're going to have them. We absolutely need them. So the Lord, because he loves us, gives them to us or allows them into our lives, perhaps, is maybe a better way to say it. He sometimes does it for correction, which I'm not going to cover too much, but, you know, God disciplines because he loves us, and you can see Hebrews 12:6. We do it with our children because we care so much. I remember saying to Marcia at one point, she was saying, "You don't love me." And I said, "Honey, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't love you." You know, I mean, that's just where, and that's the Lord. He's probably saying, "Honey, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't love you." But the one I wanted to talk about tonight was experience of these hardships or these wilderness experiences, these trials. That's the one I wanted to sort of look at tonight. We have great head knowledge. We have wonderful resources, and we are capable of thinking, and it's good. It's important, but there's nothing like an experience that changes your knowledge of, in this case, the Lord. I can know that he is going to take care of me, but when he has actually done something that is so obviously taking care of me, you can't shake my faith again quite the same way as you could if I just knew it in words. You know, God's going to take care of me. And that's what we need. That is a very important part of our relationship with the Lord. So, and our past experience builds and helps us to get through the next one, which might be tougher. But because we had this, you have a foundation, a little bit of a stepping stone that enables you to, okay, well, he did that, so maybe he'll take, you know, okay, I can trust him for this, you know, and you've stretched and you've grown. What do we learn in these times is we can't do it. If we try to do it, we fail. And God allows us to fail, so we can learn that we can't do it. And, you know, I say he allows us to fail. His hand's underneath. You're only going to fall so far, but we do. We do. We might fail at something, but he's got us ultimately. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed be the man that trusts in man." It's just where we are. One of the examples that I liked for learning that we can't do it is Moses, who was raised in the Pharaoh's court. I am going to assume because he was Pharaoh's daughter, he was educated. He had, you know, he had plenty of food. He didn't, you know, he was a man of substance as he grew up. And he tried to free the Israelites because he knew that's what he was supposed to do. He murdered an Egyptian and ended up fleeing for his life. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. The next time we see Moses, he says things like, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past." This is a different man. What else? There was one here. "What if they will not believe in me? You know, believe me." This is a different man, 40 years in the wilderness. And he learned something. And God showed him that God's going to be the one that will do this through Moses. And Moses led the people out of Egypt. Jacob's wilderness experience, another one that's such a serious leaning experience. He acquired 2 wives and 12 children. And upon returning, he's about to meet his brother and he wrestles with the Lord, who touches his hip and he limps and has to lean on a staff the rest of his life. This is a man who learned to lean in this wilderness experience. Another thing that we learn is that, and this is no surprise, he's with us and he loves us. And again, it's an experience of he's with us and he loves us. It's not just knowing that he loves you. So if you've gone through these things with the Lord, you've experienced his right there with you, getting you through this or helping you. In John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." This is the one that's beside us. Hebrews 13:5, just the second half. "For he himself," he being Jesus, "has said, I will never desert you nor forsake you." And that's a reference back into Isaiah. Matthew 18:20. "Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we're not alone. And he's right there with us. No matter what you're facing, he's there. Another part of these, going through these wilderness experiences, is we grow in our knowledge of the Lord. Our understanding, maybe, is a better way to put it. You know more about him from every one of these times that he's walked with you in these circumstances. The types of wilderness experiences, I kind of described 2 different ones. I'm sure there's more than that. I think of the ones that are the waiting on the Lord. They're hard because you can't do anything. And I didn't hear your story today, and I'm sorry, but I think about you. You could do nothing when Maisie was sick, but wait and see what the Lord would decide. You know, and it was out of your hands, and that is a frightening experience for us. That's a hard. I mean, we can do so much that It's a hard thing. I thought about Mark's birth and my feelings anyway, but, you know, the night was just prayer all night long while Mark was being born, and we didn't know what the Lord's final decision would be for either Judy or Mark. And those are just that, you hold your breath, you're praying, you're not even praying, sometimes you're just so worried, but you're in this holding pattern, almost like you can't breathe, waiting. And those are tough. The other one that is also difficult, since none of these are easy, or the Lord, we wouldn't need the Lord. So the ones that come in like a tempest, and where they're just, it's a storm just battering you. And those, I remember Lance Lambert years ago doing a teaching on that. And one of the things I came away with from it was he talked about you plant a standard and you hold on. And I pictured at the time and maybe the younger ones won't know, but the Marines, when they took the island of Iwo Jima, there's a famous photograph and then eventually a statue made of these battered men planting the American flag and raising it against such opposition. I picture that sometimes as a wilderness experience. And one of those for me was in 2010. My nephew Kyle took his life. Just shy of 21 years old. And we knew he was depressed. We knew he needed help. He was getting help. He knew that he was getting help. Everybody was on board. We thought everything was lined up. And to all of us to this day, out of the blue, he sends a "I love you" to his family text, and he committed suicide. We were devastated. I mean, obviously, it's just a horrible thing to have to face. But what I didn't realize was in that devastation, I was rocked to my very core. And I don't mean that. I don't mean that as a cliche. I mean that I remember saying out loud, "I don't know if I can trust you, Lord." Why didn't he call somebody? Why didn't he awaken us to pray at 1 in the morning when this took place? Why didn't he have a friend, even a non-believer, who would just hung out and said, "Well, hey, why don't we go do something together?" Why did everybody left him alone? And you know, why, if I could come up with 12 ways that the Lord could have prevented this, the Lord could come up with 1,012,000 ways that he could have prevented this, which left me with the realization that he allowed this to happen. I can't to this day tell you why. But I jumped ahead a bit. But so my trust was absolutely like, well, I don't know if I can trust you. The minute I said it, I panicked. I thought, wait. And Peter's words came to mind. You alone have the words of life. And that is the standard that I stuck in the ground. I didn't feel it. I couldn't see anything good. There was nothing. I mean, even when I tried to visualize Kyle in heaven, that he got to see Jesus, because we knew he was saved. I mean, that was not, thankfully, gosh, I don't know how you survived that. But I didn't, you know, I thought, okay, I will not leave this, even though, and that's that flag in the ground standard that you put down when you're facing these harder times. And you just sort of, you know, batten down the hatches and hold on. You can't do, again, you can't do anything. You're just gripping and holding. I very much feel like over the next year, you know, I was praying to the Lord. And I knew, in a sense, I felt like I had failed him, even though nobody knew how I felt. But I had failed the Lord because I didn't trust him. That somehow I didn't just accept this and okay, you know, and accept. I mean, yes, it's a loss, so there's there's emotion and there's tears, but he built back my trust. But it's a different trust today than it was then. And my trust then was pretty shallow. It hadn't been tested. It's a different trust now. And I think that's a good thing. I hope I never get tested like that again. But at the same time, I needed it. He needed to show me I didn't have as much faith in him as I thought I did. I needed to know that. And because he loves me so much. Now, there's a lot more the Lord did with Kyle's death, I'm sure. I am sure, because I have even seen beautiful things that are at least positive from what I would call a less than favorable situation. 1 year later, my dad is dying. And here I am. We've just lost my nephew, and now my dad is a very important person in my life. And I just immediately, went to the Lord and said, okay, I already know I'm not going to do this well, so I need you. That's what he wants, And it really, as difficult as it was, as much as I still miss him, it was a different experience for me in losing my dad. And so I use that as the example of the tempest, for what it's worth. These experiences, truly, everything you face is truly allowed by the Lord, from the Lord. It's a gift to you because he loves you. They are for our benefit. We are going to grow, as I've said, in various ways. And we trust him in a better way. And then we are leaning on him because we already know we can't do it. We found that out in some way. So that's what I have. And I loved our discussion this morning, so I'm hoping we can do that again.